guys, you guys did a lot of smart things. Total cost of service was $1.38 million, which gives you a total gross profit of $1.4 million. That's a 50.9% gross profit as a percentage of revenue.
Believe it or not, our $1 million franchisee sees a higher profit margin, I think about 62% on her million.
Welcome to The Pursuit of Profit, the podcast for people who want to build profitable businesses without guessing, gambling, or learning the hard way. What if I told you one of the most overlooked business opportunities in America is actually trash? Every day in the United States, millions of apartments, offices, and homes generate waste that has to be removed. It's not optional, and someone gets paid every single time it happens. In fact, junk removal alone is estimated to be a $10 billion industry. Just junk removal. Waste removal is a $100 billion market. Add in valet trash services for apartment communities where residents leave trash outside their doors and crews collect it five nights a week, and you start to see a powerful recurring revenue business. My guest today is Fred Tomlin Jr., president and co-founder of Accelerated Waste Solutions. Their franchise system combines two brands, JunkShot, a technology-driven junk removal business with a patented photo quoting app, and Doorstep Details, a valet trash service focused on apartment complexes across the country. Today, we're going to talk about the economics of the waste industry, why apartment communities represent such a large opportunity, and how technology is beginning to modernize what has traditionally been a very old-school, blue-collar business. All right, let's get into it. Let's level set the audience. So a lot of people listening to the show, they're still in corporate America. Some are entrepreneurial, right? Some are already in the game. And some are like on the fence listening to this show saying, what's my next move? You and your partner both made the move yourself from corporate America. You weren't just born entrepreneurs. You were both grinding it out in corporate America and said, you know what? We need to make a change in our life. So what I want to know is what was happening in your life, in your career, that you decided to walk away from that corporate path, start building what eventually became, you know, you being the co-founder of Accelerated Waste Solutions. How did that happen? How did you guys get started? How did you get confident to say, I'm out of here? I'm going all in on me.
Like a lot of my franchisees, you get that fire in you in terms of just what is your personal value and where is it being contributed, right? And I had the blessing and the good fortune of being in a sales position for a company that exposed me to small businesses. And, you know, I was selling them advertising, and part of that annoyed them. Part of it was needed. But in that journey, you start to understand a lot about the business as it operates. You need to understand, you know, where is the income coming from the business? What is the lead flow for the business? The demographics of that company. You kind of go a little deep when you're trying to position the right audience for somebody in the way of their marketing. Mm-hmm. And so that said, these people would just share with me, you know, that one, they weren't doing anything that was really that more novel than I was doing. And in fact, some of them were a lot less astute and were still pulling off a lot better lifestyle than I was able to maintain with my corporate job. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, part of it was personal ambition. Part of it was a little envy, to be honest. But, you know, it all culminated into making sure that the journey was taken on with the right frame of mind. And that was really about just taking hold of my future. And it's what I see all the time with franchisees. They're in corporate America. They understand that they could be making hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars for this company. And at a minimum, even if they're not tied to some chart in the way of the sales revenue, they understand how serious a cog in the wheel they are in terms of their skill sets. And then they start to reflect, can those skill sets, you know, be brought to my own earnings and my own potential? And that's what we look to pair them with when we put them with our business model. So that's what was driving me. It's what I see in a lot of entrepreneurs. It really does take, like a lot of things tell you, it's no different. I won't tell you any different. You have to take a leap. It needs to be planned, in my opinion. You can't plan your great escape out of corporate America.
The great escape. I like that.
You can't. But you got to take the leap.
Pursuit of Profit is brought to you by Phrenosity. If franchise ownership is on your radar, whether you're buying your first unit or expanding your portfolio, the most important step is getting clarity before you invest. At Phrenosity, we provide free franchise consulting to help you identify the right opportunity based on your goals, lifestyle, financial position, income needs, your risk tolerance, and long-term vision or legacy. We work with you to develop investment objectives and build a strategy designed specifically for you. There's no cost, just expert guidance. We're compensated by the seller, just like a realtor. Visit Phrenosity.com to book your free consultation call. Thank you. When was it born? The idea started somewhere, right? It was incubated. Someone came up with this idea. What was the first? You have multiple brands under one umbrella. What was the brand, the brilliance of, here's the thought, we need to do this. Let's start while we have our corporate jobs. That's what I'm understanding, is that you stayed in the ad industry while you were doing this on the side. What started it?
We did. That may have not been to our benefit to some degree. But that said, I shared some of my ambition with my co-founder, Sherrod Hunter. And Sherrod, too, is getting that same type of itch in terms of looking to do his own thing. And Sherrod ended up getting a trash can because I was investigating all types of businesses at the time. It wasn't necessarily the one that we pioneered and started today. But that said, Sherrod ended up getting a trash can at his doorstep. He was living at a nice luxury apartment because we thought we were hotshot sales guys at the top of the board, sales leaders at this company. And the trash can was the valet trash concept, or the valet trash industry, as it's known today. And what valet trash is it allows apartment dwellers to place their bag trash in a container outside their front door, typically 5 nights a week. And then a uniform porter comes and picks that trash up, transports it to the on-site compactor on the resident's behalf, cleans up material around the compactor, and that concludes the services for the night. And Sherrod was introduced to this almost the 2 decades ago now. And so when he saw the light bulb went off, one, he felt like he could do it better. And two, he understood the business model behind it once he got his hands on the business model. And that came about when he tried to renew his rent. He was offered the service, like a lot of new apartment complexes that mm-hmm. take on valet trash for free. They just gave him the can and told him that the rules of the service schedule, and he took off. What happened after the fact was when he was going to renew his lease, he was introduced to the fee for the service at that time, which I think he was introduced for a $35 fee. And if you ever got to meet Sherrod, he's fairly compelling. And I think he talked him down to $25. But okay. His head immediately went off. He knew the apartment complex was about 400 units. He did the math, about $35 per door. That's some substantial revenue for a business. And so he also investigated, understood that the business is acquired through contractual means. And so we were already in a business that we signed year-long contracts. And so the valet trash industry works in the same manner. Essentially, the business of it is, I just told you the service of it is, the business of it is that we charge property management. So we sign 3 to 5 year agreements or contracts with property management companies or asset owners, directly. But we charge them anywhere from $10 to $15 per unit to take on the services that I told you about. Mm-hmm. And essentially, those property management companies or owners charge the residents a fee above and beyond our cost of service, and they keep that as a profit center. Okay. So once a property has valet trash, it's very, very unlikely that they'll stop having valet trash. Reason being is because the asset is value on the cash flow that it brings in. So once you increase the net operating income with an amenity like valet trash, it's very unlikely that you'll decrease the value of the property by taking that cash flow away. And so essentially what you'll find is, even though properties may change service providers, and that's what we take hold of, they typically won't ever stop the service because of that profit potential.
Interesting.
And so once we understood that whole concept was shared with me at an awards banquet, my light bulb went off too. And me and Sherrod were off to the races trying to sell that concept because it sounds nice, as I'm sure your viewers or your listeners and viewers are probably tuning into. And the long or the short of it is, we did stay on at corporate America. We basically sold advertising in the morning, and we sold try to sell valet trash contracts in the afternoon. And so we pulled it off to some degree, but we were experienced a lot of mutual mystification at that time. And what that's known to us as is where you're in a sales conversation, you're having niceties with one another, but you're not really moving forward with a decision. And it's causing you both to just think that this sales process is going on and on and on and on. Nobody's telling each other no. And that's what we would get. We would have these property managers. Nobody would tell us no because we're pretty nice sales guys, but they wouldn't move forward in the process. And so we finally had an apartment manager take pity on us and take us to lunch and just share with us, you know, how we need to enter the multifamily industry. That's through proper credentialing. You needed to have your proper insurance, proper liability, et cetera. And then you also needed to make sure that you were compliant in that regard, but also being a part of the apartment association. You needed to be in a relationship position with these apartment management companies. This isn't a drive-by night type of relationship, and it's not the hardest thing in the world. In fact, the apartment association kind of is an unfair advantage in our business because it's designed to connect vendors like ourselves with property management companies. It's one of the things that gets our franchisees launched off quite a bit. But we took on that shot. We took her advisory, and we started to have some success after we left our full-time jobs. But it didn't happen right away. In the meantime, while we were still trying to make sure we met the mark on those items that property manager shared with us, we were seeing another problem in the way of trash. We were called Tampa Bay Trash at the time. And so, and our tagline was helping Tampa Bay day after day. That said, we started to see another issue at the property, which was honestly more common, even more so than the valet trash, which was the couches and the mattresses, what's known as bulk item at the apartment complexes. And so we thought we could possibly go ahead and take on that services while we wait to get our contract or stay steady on getting our contract signed. And that's just what we did. We ended up first starting with a friend's borrowed pickup truck that gravitated into, believe it or not, a small light dump truck. And then we started to honestly do what's now known as R&D, but honestly us just figuring out a way to make sure we could give max value and stay a serious repeat customer for these multifamily clients in the way of their bulk removal, their trash outs, their evictions. And we started to win that book of business, and we started to win people's trust. And so once we won that trust, we did sign our first valet trash contract. Believe it or not, we still have that contract today. We signed, I think, back in 2011, and we still service that client still to this day. And essentially, we knew we needed to be bigger than just Tampa Bay Trash once we had both of the lines of service underneath our belt. We essentially monikered ourselves as Accelerated Waste. The funny part about that is that we were coming from the advertising world. We were selling everything from yellow pages to websites. But if you have a yellow page, if you remember the yellow pages, the A's go before all the other businesses. So us and our brilliance, we had to find a word that started with A so that we would be at the top of the listings for the apartment association's directory.
That's right.
And so the apartment association's directory across the country, even to this day, are usually organized alphabetically. And so that was the strategy behind that.
Interesting.
So Accelerated Waste it was. We then went out and put forward with that moniker, carrying both lines of business, doing bulk removal services on call as well as junk removal for residents. But in our journey, my co-founder was handling operations on the junk removal side. I was building those connections inside of the apartment association and building those relationships. But Sherrod would come back, huddle with me about his experiences with the bulk removal and about how he was having people give him a description over the phone. But once he showed up on site, they'd have more material than described and he'd have to give them a different price quote. And he didn't like the feeling of people thinking he was trying to bait and switch him. And honestly, the industry thrives. Junk removal kind of honestly lives in a kind of bait and switch environment. Some of them thrive in it. Some of them treat you fair. We're the fairest because we use what we call transparency. But I'll explain that to you later. Sherrod shared that with me. And I was like, man, there's got to be an app for that in terms of being able to get a photograph of the material before you actually showed up to give a better expectation for removal pricing.
Right.
And there wasn't. And so we set off to build it. And you fast forward a few years, a few long nights with some developers in the Philippines, and we finally got it done. And we learned that that tool was useful for what I just mentioned, but it even gave us more efficiencies about understanding the material because now we can route differently, right? We can fit multiple loads in. We can know we can go to this location before that location because it has this type of material. So it was very insightful in that regard. And we knew we had our hands on something deeper than just a way to get photographs into us through an app. And so we started to patent the process for it. And we were. We eventually awarded a patent for the Junk Shot app. And the Junk Shot app now has a patent for the spatial recognition through artificial intelligence to recognize an object for removal or disposal or transport. And we own that space until 2037. Wow. And so our franchisees get that moat built around their business in terms of that efficiency. And once we had the Junk Shot app brand, we knew we could take on business in a different light. We can now be hyperly focused with our main client, which is property management, about their junk removal needs and giving them this efficiency with the Junk Shot app. And then we also knew we needed to break out the Valet Trash brand and give it its own space to make sure that people understood the value of it in the way of doorstep details, which also has a lot of technology behind it. Its claim to fame is not only our no-miss pickup guarantee, but also that our porters carry an app-based system that captures photographs of their work processes during pickup. So our clients on the Valet Trash side actually get what we call a doorstep details report that shows everything from the uniform porter, all of the buildings picked up, down to the compactor area being picked up. And all of that technology is bundled out underneath one umbrella, which is Accelerated Waste Solutions, which houses both those brands, Junk Shot App Junk Removal and Doorstep Details Valet Trash.
Okay. This all right, let's unpack. There was a lot there, right? So let's get into it. Now I understand why there's a camera in the logo for Junk Shot, right? Because I didn't understand it initially, right? Now obviously I get it. This is a patented process that you've gone through. You were way ahead of yourself on the app. You were doing this in 2011?
We did. We started the app in 2011. I finally finished it and put it in market probably about 2012, 2013. We started to really get it wrapped. And then we started that patent process back in 2015. I think we finally awarded the app back in 2018.
AI is now becoming a thing. Did you just implement the AI component to identify these objects to then model out what the pricing should be?
Man, it's so funny you mentioned that. We were challenged, right, by the patent office when we first submitted our process. So we had to understand what technology looked like and own that space. And we knew at the time, because when we priced out this technology in the past, it was well over six figures, if you can imagine. It existed, but it was expensive. And since we knew it existed, we still knew we could still own that space. And that's what positioned us to put the app in the process of having AI take on the effort of giving the quote.
Good for you.
We do have that process, right? So now AI has verbal and phone recognition through the app in terms of if you communicate with the app via text or after your submission, you'll be first responded to through AI in terms of that communication. We're now getting ready. We're only about a few weeks away from actually having the app have AI. You look at the photograph, be able to give, understand the material. It's some pretty, pretty nice technology behind the scenes in terms of heat mapping, 3D modeling, et cetera. But it actually does all of this through the cloud in milliseconds. And that said, can give a client all but instant quote through just taking a photograph or a video of their junk or trash.
Can you just share with me, what was the justification by the patent office? First of all, what was the original patent? Was it 20 years, 15 years?
20 years, my man.
What was the reason from the patent office that you're getting 20, it expires in 2037, you have 11 years remaining? What was the justification for that?
Yeah, it depends on the type of patent. So it's a utility patent.
And utility
patents usually run around 20 years, sometimes less if they don't, if the patent office deems so. But in most cases, it's going to be 20 years. It's honestly a gracious amount of time. And like I said, it builds a great moat around our business model. And we get to build a community and an experience that no other junk removal company honestly can offer because we own that space. And so since we do that, we didn't want to just stop with just giving somebody the ability to give a quote. That can be like you said, it gives friction, it lessens friction. And also gives a very fast experience to a problem very quickly for a consumer. But it's not the end all be all behind the app. What we've also integrated inside of the app is we're the nation's only loyalty program. So much like Starbucks, much like Jimmy John's and Subway, you can now use and earn points for every dollar you spend within the app. And when you go inside of the app, you can exchange these points for gift cards at major retailers like Amazon, Lowe's, Panera Bread, Starbucks, a host of other different retailers. And you can get these points for not just utilizing our services, but for your birthday, referring to a friend, liking our Instagram page, giving us some stars on our Google business profile. And so that said, it unlocks a lot. It puts us in a class of our own in terms of customer loyalty. And we're excited about it. We love being able to have a built-in process to just honestly thank our customers and giving them that honest feedback about really thank you and giving them a way to show that.
Who's running the back end of that? Who's facilitating these gift cards and the financial transactions? Who'd you hire for that?
Man, we use a company called Bubble House. Bubble House is a much trusted loyalty app software development program. If you gave them a Google, you check them out. But they work for major retailers, everyone from like Macy's, et cetera. And they run the back end of our loyalty app software along with our other app developers.
Can I get these benefits on one transaction or it's only based on recurrence?
It's on the recurrence. You got to get a couple in with us. But like I say, we give you points off the bat. So just by downloading the app, I think we give you something like 67 points just for downloading the app.
Okay.
So if you just download the app, you already started your way on some points. But it does take you a couple jobs to get yourself open up to some actual.
I think it's great. I love it. I want to go back to that because I love the app. I love what you've built. I love the patent, all of it. I love all that stuff. Take me from client acquisition. How are you getting the client to even share the app?
Man, we've got a couple ways for people to take on app acquisition. Most residential customers come and engage with the app like you would just like a normal website, right? They go to our Google business profile. They understand that they can either give us a pick or a call. Some call us, some download the app. When you look at our website on a mobile front-facing way, it's in your face in terms of downloading the app. On the desktop side, when somebody's looking at us from a desktop point of view, we want to give them, you know, other options to be able to contact us.
So but is that also, my question though, is how are you getting the customer? Is it like Cliff, it's all SEO, it's all internet based, it's all on their phone, and then we appear. Is that really like pay-per-click? And
for the residential side, that's mostly that effort, right? For our digital marketing. That's gonna be your Google business profile, your SEO, your pay-per-click. That's your homeowner. Believe it or not, that's only about 10 to 20% of my franchisees' business, believe it or not. Okay. About 80 to 90% of my franchisees' business is B2B.
That's the answer I'm looking for. B2B machine.
Please. Reason being is because we give value beyond all those bells and whistles I told you with the app. We have the largest truck in the industry. We have the largest truck in the industry with the most affordable rate to fill it. It's called Bigger Trucks, Better Pricing. That term is also trademarked. But that said, it gives us an unfair advantage in the commercial space, primarily amongst our primary client, which is the multifamily or property management apartment complexes. They handle about 3 to 4 line items of service for us, everything from bulk removal, evictions, trash outs, compactor cleanups, et cetera. And then there's self-storage facilities. Believe it or not, they act the same way in terms of the offshoot of bulk removal material. And then we also deal with real estate and small remodeling contractors on the B2B side. But that said, we introduced the JunkShot app to every B2B customer because our preferred pricing form is inside of the app. So we give our B2B customers special discounted pricing. And in order to engage with that pricing, you have to fill out this simple form that's inside of the app. You fill that out, sign that in the app, and now you unlock preferred pricing. But even more important, you're now signed up to get loyalty points. And you don't have to use the app all the time to get those points. If you call us, if you text us, if you send an email, as long as we tie your invoice into your registered loyalty account, you'll still get those points even if you don't use the app. But that's how we get businesses inside the app. It's because they sign up for our preferred pricing through it.
Interesting. The, is the app exclusively associated with JunkShot? or does the app cross-pollinate the valet garbage junk removal?
Right now, it's exclusive to Junk Shop.
Well,
give
it.
Us some
I like the clarity that you separated them.
Yeah, okay. It's exclusive to Junk Shot. Like that, those services are very isolated to the Junk Shot. But we've given some thought to seeing if we can give some valet customers some insight to it. But that said, Junk Shot junk removal is
so the Junk Shot. All right, so the junk removal is heavy B2B, 80% B2B. Your team, your franchisees, either themselves or salespeople, are banging on B2B apartment complexes, property managers, hotels, storage units, whatever, to promote their brand that we will haul the junk. Your truck is 2 times the size of a competitor?
It's not quite 2 times the size.
Okay.
About one and a half times the size of a competitor in most cases, sometimes 1.25 the size of a competitor in most cases.
Okay.
But that said, it is the largest truck in terms of all the national franchise brands in the marketplace. But that said, I know you also were talking about our franchisees and how they grow that B2B business, right? So inside of our organization, we have what's known as 3 pillars of growth. And so our 3 pillars of growth essentially include our digital marketing. That's what I talked about before. That's that Google Business Profile, the SEO, PP, pay-per-click, now AIO. In terms of chat, believe it or not, we get jobs in from ChatGPT now.
I believe it.
But but that said, that's that column. And we work with a very number of astute agencies. Our main one is a company called Wolfpack. But we do allow franchisees to engage with other marketing firms that we can approve beyond our initial approved agency. And then there's our guerrilla marketing. That's kind of what you mentioned. Our guerrilla marketing is our door-to-door, our yard signs. That's going to apartment complexes. And there's a part of that, right, within our 90-day sales plan. But honestly, our unfair advantage is our 3rd pillar, which is our networking pillar. And that's where our franchisees really get to multiply themselves without having to necessarily touch base with every single apartment complex. You get to fast forward that experience by honestly touching base with their leadership in these networking environments at the apartment association, at the BNI, at the chamber, at the realty association. We put you in those environments, have you build out your calendar to touch those events 1, 2, 3 times a week, along with the other things that I mentioned. But it's the thing that, one, gives you the connection to where you're building a relationship. Because we love our residential consumers. Don't get me wrong. I love cleaning out garages and getting rid of the trampoline in the backyard. But that said, we typically don't see that consumer once or twice a year, or maybe once every 2 to 3 years, depending on their need. These business clients, they need us as a condition of operating their business, and they need a relationship. They need people they can trust. And these network environments gives you an opportunity to do that. And people, quite frankly, just they buy from people they like. That's how it
works. That's right. Totally agree.
This just flat out point blank period. So if you're not a likable person, give business ownership a second thought. But that said,
please.
That is what really puts our franchisees in the profitability with their months, really just taking advantage of all 3 of those pillars, but really leaning into that unfair advantage of our B2B.
So if a competitor, explain that to me. If a competitor gives a price, let's say it's $400, how were you guaranteeing that?
It really boils down to being able to either meet or beat a written bid. So if you share a bid with us, we really do want to understand how somebody, like I told you, I have the most affordable truck in the marketplace with the largest truck in the marketplace with the most affordable rate to fill it up. So we want to understand if somebody gave a better price than us, we really need to see it in writing. And if you share it with us in writing, if we can compare apples to apples, we're either going to expose that there's somebody, someone's doing some kind of smoke and mirrors with you in terms of their estimate. Or we really can't offer a better value and allow us to offer or match that. And
you're so looking for transparency. I love it. I love that word.
You hit it on the head.
Did you copyright that? Trademark that?
You got it, man.
You
that's
did?
Ours, man. Yes, that's ours, my man.
Transparency is hilarious. Some people are so creative, telling you.
It comes from reporting, right? Essentially, we are the only junk removal, since we use photographs, for not only our front-facing way to get in information, we actually use photographs for our work fulfillment on both brands. So on the Junk Shot side, we're the only junk removal company that gives our commercial clients what we call junk shot 360 reports, where they can see before and after photographs of their material. Because we charge you for how much we take off-site, we actually show you the truck empty. We show you the material on the ground, then we take a photograph showing the material in the truck, and then we actually show them a photograph clearing the area, sweeping it up, so you see that area clean inside of there. And that's a big mystery to most of our commercial clients. If you can imagine someone at an apartment complex that's hired a vendor to do this type of work, they don't have any clue how much material they took out of their home or out of that apartment complex or out of that storage unit. They just have to trust that they didn't fluff the load, or they're hopefully honest about the material that they took on if they weren't right in. And our clients don't have to worry about that. Since these are commercial clients, they may or may not be on site when this activity is taking place. Mm-hmm. And so this gives them a huge peace of mind to understand a whole 360 view for what took place even when they weren't on site. And we are the only junk removal company in the country that does that.
Fred, I want to go back to the truck. First of all, does the larger truck put me into a CDL issue, or no? Anyone can drive the truck?
No, that's a great question. Absolutely not. It's been specifically designed. The truck can actually fit in a standard parking space.
Okay.
Because our franchisees actually operate out of storage facilities, that's the office, so to speak, in terms of where you rally every day with your team. Essentially, that truck allows you to be able to take on a standardized parking space at the storage facility without having to pay anything extra. And yes, it is just a regular driver's license to drive the truck. You don't need a special CDL. It's under height of all height variances. So except don't try to drive in the small garages. But that said, it goes under all your height variances across the nation. So it's been specifically designed to make sure it can give max value, but also make sure it gives max efficiency.
All right, here's my scenario. So I love the idea of the bigger truck. I want to know if this is a realistic, because I love the operational efficiency modeling of a bigger truck only under this assumption, and I want to know if this is realistic. The competitors have smaller trucks because they go, they pick up, and they dump it, and they're back out on the street. If I have your truck, I could go to my mom's house, clean out her garage. I have room remaining in my vehicle. Is it realistic? Right. But I get that on paper, Fred. Is it realistic that I can route that vehicle
I feel ashamed I had to let you discover this part of my business model that I didn't share with you. But no, it's a very big key component of.
Is it real
part.
Though? Is it realistic more. That you could dispatch
my
that same vehicle?
My franchisees, honestly, they honestly don't even want leads that don't come with photographs. But so my franchisees that work within our system well, and the vast majority of their clients send in photographs for their material, they'll actually sit and route their day based on the understanding that they know they can go to specific jobs without ever having to go to disposal. And so while my competitors are at the dump multiple times trying to take care of this material, we can go from job to job to job. So we can typically get in more jobs in a day than the average junk removal company just based on that truck size. That truck also actually gives us the ability to separate valuable materials now. Even though our competitors can do that to some behalf, if you got the option to have to dump the material and still get to the next job because you're restricted by your job size, you don't have the opportunity to necessarily set aside the aluminum exercise bike or the aluminum treadmill or washing right. machine that you can trade in for materials, or even just salvageable furniture that can go back to the self-storage facility, and then you can go do your own job, or you can keep that material separated in your truck because it's large enough and still take on a junk removal job. Believe it or not, we keep bars in the truck to trap material. We can even put valuable material toward the front of the truck, put material that we want to dump inside of there and up to multiple loads, and then we can go to the dump the truck, and the valuable material still maintains itself inside of the truck.
On the storage unit front, they're literally saying this person hasn't paid in forever. Instead of auctioning the unit, they're telling you to come and just clean it out, get rid of everything.
Sometimes you get what's called after auction clean out. Not every auction, not every door that rolls up, people look in it and go like, hey man, there's something there. Sometimes they just look at it, or they'll ask you, people won't take all the materials with them.
Such a good point. Only in TV does that happen.
That's it. So they hit you up when people have abandoned materials after the pickup, or the storage hunter himself will give you a shout and ask you to come get what they perceive to be junk versus the stuff that they were able to pull out of the facility. And you'd be surprised the things that, like I said, my franchisees can find coins. It's no different than storage hunters. It's the same scenario.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. These services that are on your website, apartments, condos, construction, demolition, doorstep recycling. You guys are huge on recycling. Electronic waste recycling, estate cleanouts, event cleanup, foreclosure cleanouts, home cleanouts, retail and office cleanouts, yard waste removal. So you're doing that type of stuff. What is the, do you do roll-off? Are you doing any of that? Or no, you're competing against a roll-off dumpster. Okay.
You hit it on the
head. Got it.
A lot of, like I say, there's a place for roll-off dumpsters in major construction projects. So we would never discount that. But that's not our game. We're in the B2B niche waste industry. And believe it or not, there's even a quiet way we receive leads that a lot of people wouldn't even know every day through what's known as waste consultancy. So you have third-party brokers that operate for property management companies in the retail side. This is your Dollar General, your Ross, your Marshalls, your Dillard's. And essentially, they have junk removal needs in terms of sometimes downsizing, sometimes increasing spaces. You can imagine if you ever saw those racks that they don't use, where do they go, those big metal racks? Or if they have a ton of shipment that comes in at your local Dollar General and they've got overflow of cardboard, who comes and gets that material? And so we're often hired by these third-party brokers, and it ramps my franchisees up fast. Essentially, we cultivate that relationship on a national scale to get them these national accounts, but it is an unfair advantage for us. They're able to attain that beyond other normal junk haulers because of that large truck size. When they're able to expose that over to the waste consultancy and understand that we can touch multiple jobs in a day, that's all. A lot of times what they're exposed to is multiple jobs in a day because our clients understand we have that advantage.
I want to get into your item 7. It's a very reasonable investment. I'm showing 141 to 352. Help me understand the 352. Does that mean I bought everything outright, or does that mean multiple locations on the 352,000?
It would mean you've taken on the high end of all of the equipment and services costs of the business, which isn't very likely. And although we have that range, you know, between 141 and 352, it is a range of experiencing the low end of costs and services in your area, as well as the high end. But most franchisees, we recommend they be prepared to be able to invest anywhere from 275 to 325 in terms of investment. And what that does is really what changes that is how they finance the vehicle. And the vehicle is honestly the bulk of your investment. It's going to be about $100,000. But the good news is that $100,000 truck is collateralized with your SBA loan if you tend to go that route. And they love the fact that they can back your financial investment for your new opportunity with that asset. And so that's how a lot of our franchisees position themselves. But we want our franchisees well capitalized for this effort. It's not something you want to come in just, you know, your bare bones strings. You want to make sure that you've got the right capital to move forward. I remember we had one of our first financial advisors, still a mentor today, when we were in our construction trailer. Believe it or not, Shirai had to talk me into working in a dirt lot in a construction trailer behind a thrift shop that we were taking salvage and material to. We had a home office at the time.
But I saw that photograph.
He understood the importance of being in that operational environment. But we outgrew it at a point. And we brought this financial advisor in to speak to us. And we were getting ready to take on some of our first loaned money, some of our first financing to grow our business. And we had given a number that we thought was fairly conservative, a number that someone would give us with not too much pushback. And he actually cautioned us on that effort. He shared, you know, the ideal about getting in the middle of the lake, you know, trying to row across the lake. And you've only got enough capital to get yourself halfway through. You really want to make sure that you position yourself to take on the type of capital that is going to make sure you can grow your business comfortably and you can have some powder in your keg for unforeseen circumstances. And so that's the same way we position our franchisees. Some get away on the lower end just because their markets are regional and have some services that are lower in cost. But the truck is the biggest portion of that investment.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Yeah, I would agree with that. SBA, that's good to know that you're doing SBA funding. There's not a lot to unpack on the investment range because it's a very simple business. It's going to be initial franchise fee. The vehicle is everything. And I'm assuming you're beginning with one vehicle and they can scale after.
You got it. You got it.
Right. Okay.
You got that one vehicle. Typically, that one vehicle can service them up to two territories as they grow. We typically look for franchisees to take on the advantage of two territories when they start, especially since we're an emerging franchise. They've got that green pasture, that runway, and they don't want to cede that to another franchisee if they can take on that type of investment. So it's what we encourage.
You own how many locations corporately? Is it four?
Essentially, we own four today, but we're actually being preparing to sell those as resales over to franchisees. We're in there growing our franchisees business and making sure
good for you, but as you should be
for them. And our franchisees that are also, of course, are at our doorstep have been honest about our corporate accounts anyway. They've been chopping at the bit to get at them. And so that said, this year we'll more likely be looking to get those corporate accounts.
You're going
to
peel them off.
Peel them off as resale. So we're looking forward to it. Every time we've done it, it's actually grown the book of business. It gives understanding that we, of course, hadn't been able to give the time that we need to those corporate accounts like our franchisees can. And so we're always glad to introduce them to ongoing revenue that they can count on today and tomorrow.
Your revenues were $2.8 million in Tampa. On your earnings claim and your FDD, that is remarkable. You guys are doing $2.8 million hauling junk. That's more than the average revenue of a competitor, way more than both of the competitors. It's a big number. Your labor was 28%. I think a great number, considering you have two people per truck. I mean, it's not like one person per truck. So you're right. You have a minimum of two people per vehicle. Your disposal costs, very interesting. 10.7%. I attribute that to the fact that your vehicles are bigger and you have operational efficiency and you've cut your disposal costs relative to a competitor.
Come on, man. I'm about to hire you, man.
I think that's impressive. Your fuel costs, again, another attribution of 2.6% because you're not constantly going back and forth to the landfill. You're hanging out in a geo-targeted market being dispatched properly, hopefully using technology to do that and optimize routes. Guys, you guys did a lot of smart things. Total cost of service was $1.38 million, which gives you a total gross profit of $1.4 million. That's a 50.9% gross profit as a percentage of revenue.
Believe it or not, our $1 million franchisee sees a higher profit margin, I think about 62% on her million. So it translates.
It's all right. So the franchisees have a higher gross profit margin than the corporate owned locations. What do you attribute that to? Because she's labor in the business model? Is that where she's picking that up?
Man, it's a couple of things. They can find better efficiencies across their system, right? Where they have a tighter territory, right? And they're consolidated. If you think through it, my corporate operations are flung across four markets across very long territories. So we have bigger fuel costs. Where my franchisees are consolidated. It was one of the things that was very eyebrow raising to us when we first started franchising. We were like, oh man, they got better fuel efficiency, better labor and even disposal because they're consolidated into their territories, unlike we've had to be in the past. And so watching that efficiency come out of the franchisees is really, really cool to watch. But that's probably one of the main reasons is they've got that territory focus.
I totally agree. You guys are pretty forward thinking. I would envision in the next less than 5 years that the person sitting in the jump seat of the vehicle is going to be a humanoid. No workers' comp, can lift 10 times their body weight, never tires, never complains. If anyone's going to do it, it's going to be you guys because you're that type of guy.
I hate to say I've given some Star Wars thought to this, but but we're going to get people through a great business system that can make them and their family a great living before we introduce the robots.
Let's close on that. I really enjoyed my time with you. I appreciate it. You have an amazing brand. You guys are doing an incredible job, and you're basically you're not category creating, but you're disrupting like a gajillion year old industry, which is just waste removal. And you've disrupted it by implementing AI technology and all these different guarantees and the things you're doing is pretty smart. I like you're challenging the status quo. Thanks for coming on my show, Fred. I appreciate it.
Nick, you, thank you.
Thank you for watching Pursuit of Profit, brought to you by Phrenosity. Franchise ownership is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. The right strategy can accelerate wealth. The wrong one can set you back years. If franchise ownership is on your radar, whether you're buying your first unit or planning to scale, the most important step is getting clarity before you invest. Do not make a 6- or 7-figure decision without the right guidance. At Phrenosity, we offer free franchise consulting to help you evaluate opportunities, avoid costly mistakes, and build a clear strategy for long-term profitability. Visit Phrenosity.com to book your free call. We look forward to working with you.